Thank you. I tell you, these young people did a great job. I appreciate their leading us in worship today and all of our worship leaders on Wednesday night. Thank you, Pastor Nick. Ms. Lisa, we have a gifted and talented staff, and it's a real joy to serve with them and to serve alongside of them. As our children make their way back to their parents and friends, I want us to center our minds on the book of Joshua. It is this book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books known as the Torah, and then Joshua, this great book of spiritual victory, claiming God's promise. I want us to look at chapter 1, the first paragraph, verses 1 through 9. That's where we're going to center in. It's going to be pretty obvious when we read the scripture together that the theme of the book of Joshua found in this paragraph is be strong and courageous. Now, some of you today may not feel strong and courageous. Well, you're in good luck, because today we're going to look at God's Word that's going to tell you how to be strong and courageous. This is a theme not only for the book of Joshua, it's the theme of our life in Christ. The book of Joshua, like the other Old Testament books, serve as an illustration for how we as Christians, New Testament believers in Jesus Christ, are to live our life. We look at these stories of the Old Testament and we see the principles of God lived out in a physical realm so that we can learn how to live out those same principles in the spiritual realm, in the realm of the soul, of the spirit, mind, body, and soul. Let's think of a New Testament scripture that talks about the need to be strong and courageous. I picked Jude, verse 3 and 4. It's only one chapter, so there's no chapter reference. But Jude, verse 3 and 4, reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle. You and I don't battle in terms of flesh and blood, armies. That's civil government work. That's what God has put civil governments and given them the sword to protect the good and to punish the evil. They assemble police departments and FBI and judicial courts and armies and navies and all those things. But the body of Christ is in a war. We're in a spiritual battle, but ours is not against people, against powers and worldviews and ideas. We are battling for the minds and the hearts and the souls of lost people. You've got the kingdom of darkness vying for their soul, and you've got the kingdom of light. Hello? You and me, the body of Christ. And Jude says, a book often referred to in the latter days, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary. I found it necessary to write to you, to exhort you, to encourage you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Why? Why is he saying you and I need to take up our game? We need to contend for the faith that you found, the gospel of God's mercy and grace that saves souls through faith. Why? For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we're living in that day. People who claim to be virtuous, people who claim to have moral integrity, people who have power and influence and loud voices are perverting the gospel and perverting the moral laws of God, and they've turned the grace of God, that is God's goodness on your life, God's salvation by His mercy, and said, now you can do whatever you feel like doing. And it's lewdness, It is ungodly. It is immoral. And they're claiming it's religious. And he said it's time for the true believers, the people who know the difference between the Word of God and the false gospel, to contend for the faith. Now, it's not often that I put the Greek word up there for the English word. I'm not trying to impress you. It's taken me a week to remember how to pronounce the thing. It's one of those polysyllabic Greek words. But the reason I do it is because you can see easily the English word in it. I like languages. I like to see how our words came about. And here is the Greek word, epagonizomai. Like I said, it took me a week to remember how to pronounce it. Epa, it comes from epi, prefix epi. You know what epi is, like epidermis. You got your dermis, and then you got your epidermis. It means over, over, epi, over. And then agonizomai. Now, what word do you hear in English? Agonizomai. You hear the word what? Agonize. Agonize over. Contend over. It means fight, fight, fight for the faith that was delivered to you. You've got a fight on your hand, and you better wake up and contend earnestly, willing to agonize for the things that matter, or else you're going to lose it. Now, the devil can't steal your salvation. He cannot take your salvation. That was done by God, and the devil has no power to do that. But you know what he can try to do? To take the joy of your salvation. To where literally you've been set apart for God. You've been called out of darkness into light. You've been given the promises of God. Somebody here today, I was dealing with somebody this week that was dealing with depression. All of this lostness and all of this, it seemed like evil had its day for a while. And these great spokesmen for the faith like Reverend Vody Balcom. I didn't always agree on everything Vody said. He had his own particular deal. But let me tell you what the man did. He stood up for the Word of God, fighting a culture that had turned to lewdness and forgotten that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he went on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and whoever would invite him and said, the gospel is the Word of God, and there is no other word for a lost world than Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I will tell you something, I applaud him. He's with the Lord today, not because of what he did for God, but before what Jesus did for Vody Balcom. And that's the only way you and I get in heaven. It's not what you do for God, but what Jesus did for you. Don't you forget it. And when we see these guys who've been in the fight and stood tall and now they're gone, somebody better race to breach the gap. Somebody better get in there and say, I'll hold the line. I'm still here for a purpose. Contend earnestly for the faith. The reason I want you and I and our church to go through the book of Joshua is we see these principles illustrated. How to contend. How to fight, how to move forward. And some of you today are dealing with, like my friend who is dealing with depression. He just felt overwhelmed. It's like bad news upon bad news, and it got him down. I don't know if you ever feel that, or you just always all honey, no bees. You know, I get it. Some people just born with that disposition. But some of you may be here today and say, man, I've been discouraged. I came here today, but I didn't feel like coming. I just came because I knew it was the thing to do. And I reminded this brother of Psalm 34:17. Psalm 34:17, the psalmist was going through that same thing, and he was feeling low. He said, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears him, and the Lord delivers them from all of their troubles. Not some of their troubles, all of their troubles. Friend, if you feel like the battle's been more than you can handle, it is. Cry to the Lord. He hears you, and He will do for you what you alone cannot do for yourself. He will deliver you. You let your cries, you get honest with God. He hears you and He will deliver you. I don't care what your trouble is. You say, you don't know my trouble. I may not, but God does. He will deliver you today. I want you to get this message today that before I go in to a spiritual battle and I'm going to be dealing with it, you're going to be dealing with it, I better be prepared. The first part of Joshua is how to prepare for the battle. How can I be strong and courageous and contend for the faith? We're not going to have time to review. Just trust me. God got us to Joshua. All right. What do you want to know about Joshua? Here's some facts. They're not that important. You can study in any commentary. Let's get to Joshua chapter 1:1-9. Let's read the word of God. The death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, often pronounced Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, this is the big inauguration of Joshua, a transition. We're transitioning from Moses to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan and the land I'm giving the Israelites. I've given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, that goes from modern-day Turkey through Syria all the way over to Iraq. The borders of modern-day Israel are not the borders of the land God gave them. But anyway, that's another story. He gave them far more territory than they actually have today. And so in the land of the Hittites and west to the Mediterranean Sea, to the Great Sea, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Now, what a promise. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Here's the first time he tells us. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to your ancestors to give them as an inheritance. Above all, second time, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. The book of the instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous a third time? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. My friend, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out the theme is what? Be strong and courageous. That is for you, dear Christian. That is for me as your pastor. And if you're not experiencing that today, hear the word of God, how to do it. Well, first of all, you need to learn the truth to learn. Here is the key, and it's a simple linguistic key. You are to be strong and courageous, not try to be strong and courageous. You can spend hours and hours, and the internet will flood your mind on tricks, things to do, habits to develop, ways, and I'm telling you the whole time you're going to think, it's up to me, it's up to me, it's up to me. I just got to try. I got to be like that little train that could. I got to get up that hill. I got to do harder. Hear me today. It takes effort. I'm not diminishing all of that. It takes activity. But the key is, if your tank is empty, all the trying, all the turning of the key and the ignition is not going to get you from point A to point B. You got to have it on the inside. You got to be strong and courageous before you can act courageously in this world. Your strength comes from God. Now, when we go back to Exodus chapter 15, they've just crossed miraculously the Red Sea. God parted the waters literally, and the people, probably a million or so people, walked through on dry ground to the other side, escaping the Pharaoh and his army on the side of Egypt. And then when they passed through safely, the Lord released the waters that he had put up, and they drowned the armies of the Pharaoh. We know that story. Moses is on the other side with the people, and he breaks out in song. He looks back and he says, you know, we did not do one thing to make that happen. How did that Red Sea do? How did we get delivered? He says, I'll tell you how. Don't ever forget it. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The psalmist would repeat this twice again in the books of the Psalms. Even Isaiah repeats the song of Moses and says, the Lord is my strength and my song. A psalmist says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. When I'm weak, when I face the enemy, how am I going to try to be strong? You're not. You've got to be strong, because if you're on the Lord's side, he is your strength. It comes from the inside. And I will exalt him. He is my God. I will praise him. Pray. Boy, we've been doing that. Why? Because he's worthy. He alone is worthy. He's your strength today. For some of you, you've been trying, and you need to start receiving what's already yours. It's already there. It's in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, he is your strength and he is your courage. Now, truth to live. Truth to live. Now, Pastor, put a little meat on that bone. Tell me what to do. I like step one, two, three. I'm a step one, two, three kind of person here. In the scripture, it tells us, now that you have the Lord, now today, if you're trying to do life on your own, you've never repented and turned from your sin. You've never admitted, man, I can't, but you've never said, if you're still trying to be good, you're in trouble. Just get honest before the Lord and say, listen, I cannot do it. I admit I'm a sinner. Place your faith in what Jesus has done for you. His death on the cross, he was a perfect sacrifice, the only one that could meet the demands of God. And then on the third day, God raised him from the death. He defeated death for you. He gives you what only he is worthy of. He gives you the gift of eternal life. You place your faith in Christ and follow him, surrender to him as Savior and Lord of your life. My friend, then you receive the Lord, and with the Lord you receive strength. You receive his courage, not your courage, not your strength, his strength. And you and I that are Christians, he says, here's what you need to remember. And he tells Joshua this, and he tells the people of God this: cling to the written word of God. Now, by this time, literally, God has inscribed it, written it in stone tablets, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. They have the written word of God. That is universal written law of God. And he says, you need to cling to the written word of God. Look what it says. Above all, be strong and very courageous. Verse 7, and be careful to observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or left, so that you will have success wherever you go. And then he says, the book of instruction must not depart. Must not depart. Must not be separated from you. Must not leave you. You need to cling to the Word of God. Now, I like digital form. I do like digital form. I use it. I've got a Bible app on here, and it's a convenient tool. But can I tell you something? I want to encourage you to make sure you use daily your own personal paper written copy, a copy of God's Word, to have it, to hold it. Let me tell you something. When the fiber optic line gets cut and the digital won't come on your phone anymore, always good to have the one you've been studying, writing in, taking notes in, having your personal Word of God, a young girl was here today sitting on that bench out there. She had the most beautiful Bible, and I thanked her. One, I knew what I was going to preach today, so it was kind of on my mind. I looked at her and I said, honey, that is the most beautiful Bible. Her mama said, Miss Lisa gave her that Bible. I'm going to tell you something. We want you, now I'm not, you say, well, Pastor, I've got 10 Bibles at home. I'm not trying to get on you if you don't bring your Bible to church. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to challenge you and encourage you. Have your written copy of God's Word that you can touch and hold and read and write notes in. I also use my digital copy all the time. When I'm somewhere and I don't have my written copy, it's still back at the house. It is such a convenient tool. But convenience is not really what we're after. We're not really after that. I want you to physically be able to identify with the written Word of God, what a treasure it is. And I want to encourage you to make sure it is with you. That man, daily in your heart, it does not depart, not just from your house, from your heart. Cling to it in your heart. Now, secondly, contemplate the Word of God. The written Word of God. Here it says, meditate. You are to meditate on it constantly, day and night, in the regular rhythms of your life. Meditate. The word literally, it means to mutter, to repeat it over and over and over and over to yourself. I encourage you, if you've got a problem, find the promise of God in the written Word of God. You've got a problem you've been battling with, go to the written Word of God and say, where is God's promise, His instruction, in the book of His instruction, the holy book, the 66 books of the canon, the holy scriptures, the Bible, and say, God, give me your word for that problem I'm dealing with. And then you mutter it over and over and over and over again. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and the Lord delivers them from all of their problems. Psalm 34:17. The righteous cries out and the Lord hears them and the Lord delivers them from all of their troubles. Psalm 34:17. You get the idea. Friend, I don't know what your issue is, where the devil or his demons are trying to attack you and discourage you. You find the Word of God and you just meditate on it day and night in the rhythms of life. You have it, you cling to it, but you also contemplate constantly on the truth. The truth you and I are to live out. I'm encouraging you today, if you can spend this much time in screen time, have this much time in the Word of God time. Where do you go for the answer? You go into Google or you go into God? Which one? Where's the answer lie for you? How much time do we spend here? And it's not on the Bible app, it's on all the other apps. The truth is, we're not spending that time. We're going to the world. Let me tell you something. You are what you're thinking. And is this controlling your thought? Are you spending more time? I'm telling you, I think we've overthought this thing. I think it's time for some of it just go back to the simple things. Get your Bible out. Start reading it. Find the promises of God that deal with your problem and get the victory over it. By contemplating, putting that truth in your life. The third thing I want to encourage you to do is keep the written Word of God. What I mean by that, it says right here, you obey it. You obey the truth of God. Verse 8, the last part, so that you may be careful to observe everything written in it. Careful. Careful. Stop. Think. Don't rush in. Don't let your feelings guide your actions. Let the Word of God direct your mind, your thoughts direct your feelings and act. Don't let the emotions of this life control you and give you guidance. Let the Word of God affect and renew your mind so that you're thinking right. When you think right, you feel right. When you feel right, you act right. But you've got to be willing to say, I am going to observe the Word of God. I really don't need what the podcaster has to say about that issue. Do you really need somebody to tell you right from wrong? I mean, really. Do you really need someone to teach you how to live your life? Opinionators. Hey, we got the Creator. We don't need an opinionator. We got the guy who wrote the book trying to speak to us every day. Get in the Word and do what it says. You say, Pastor, that's hard. No, it's not. I'm going to preach to myself a little bit. I'm going to tell you. The way we travel sometimes is difficult because we live in a difficult world. But can I tell you something? Intellectually, it's not that hard to follow the Word of God, to keep it. All you have to do to the Word of God, here's how hard it is. Just say yes. That's it. Just say yes. Lord, my neighbor is mean as a snake. What do you say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, Lord, I will love my neighbor as myself. Because I've been trying to take care of myself. And I appreciate myself. Myself feeds me every 3 or 4 times a day, sometimes 10 times a day. It's a good body. I mean, it's good. Well, what should I do? I want everything that I don't have, and I want what other people have. Don't be envious or jealous. Yes, Lord, I will not be envious or jealous. It's not that hard, folks. You just say yes to the Lord. You agree with the Lord, and you do it. Now, it's a difficult way because why? We got the old devil tempting us. The devil is going to keep going. Just as soon as you get in the right path, the devil's going to try to get you in the wrong path. And I want to encourage you today, you stay at it. Intellectually, it's not that hard to understand. You carefully observe everything written in it. Trust God's promises for every problem you deal with. Trust God's promise for every battle that you face. You're not facing people. That's not your problem. We are dealing with worldviews that don't align with Christianity. We're dealing with false ideas, false gospels. God has written the truth. Listen, you cling to it. You contemplate constantly on it, and you keep the Word of God. Friend, that's how the strength of the Lord becomes your strength. That's how the song of the Lord becomes your song. Lessons to apply. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Last week we learned this truth. You never fail one of God's tests. You keep taking it till you pass it. The Hebrew children left Egypt. They got to the edge of the promised land and they revolted. They failed the test. God said, 40 years for that generation to die off. We're going to get a new generation. Moses trained the new generation how to live in the land of promise. And now we're in Joshua. And guess what? It's the same test. Will you trust God? They failed the first time. And God said, nope, we're going to take it again until you pass it. In this lesson today, we've learned that spiritual preparation always precedes spiritual battles. You do not resist the devil and he will flee. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, that's in the Bible. It sure is in James chapter 4, verse 7. But that's the last half of that Bible verse. What's the first half? Submit yourself to God, then resist the devil and he will flee. If you think that you're going to sit in a church service and go to one, we got wonderful Sunday school teachers. I thank God for our Sunday school teachers. Here, thank God that you're active in your Sunday school and learning. That's important, important, important. But my friend, you can't go for a whole week on one breakfast. You got to keep feeding on the Word of God, contemplating, clinging, and doing it throughout the week. You got to keep spiritually prepared because the battle's coming. Don't face the battle if you're not preparing. So he's telling Joshua and he's telling you, get prepared. Get in the Word. And then he says, be careful to observe everything that I taught you. Spiritual obedience precedes success. Spiritual obedience to God precedes any earthly battle that you ever face. When you and I are prepared and then we act on it, now we are being built up in the body of Christ. We can then say, yes, Lord, I feel your strength and your courage alive in my life. He promises you, if you do these things, you will prosper. You will succeed in whatever you do. Why? Because God's in control. God's in control. Today, I encourage you, be strong in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, have your way today. You're doing awesome things. That's all you can do are awesome things. Your holiness is awesome. Lord, your grace is awesome. For those who need to take their stand for Christ today and they need a church home or they need to take their public stand and say, yes, I have sensed the spiritual battle of the darkness and the light, but I am a follower of Christ. I have turned from my sins. I've repented. I've asked Jesus to save me. I place my faith in Jesus alone as Savior and Lord, and I'm following Him. With His help, I will follow Him all the days of my life. Maybe you've made that decision, and today you're ready to take your public stand. Others may need a church home. Somebody here today may have been like that fellow that was overwhelmed with a spiritual battle. Head down, strength depleted. God raised them up in Christ. Help them see beyond the immediate and see you standing there. And Lord, encourage them to cry out to you. I'm yours, Lord. I'm your follower. You've saved me. Hear me and deliver me from all my troubles. Give me your strength. Help me be strong and courageous. Lord, I confess today that you are my strength and my song. I will cling to your word. I will contemplate on it. Your promises are true and I'll keep it. Raise up their head today, Lord Jesus. Help them see you standing victorious. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you come? Would you come today as we sing, What's Your Decision Today? Thank you.